Over these past several weeks, we've been talking about this idea of preparing for what's next, whether that's in our life or in the life of this church, as we have just finished a prayer journey together, seeking God, expecting God to reveal Himself, to respond to our prayers as He leads us into the future. But it's not just about that, though. What I want, and hopefully that this series is doing, is it will help you prepare for what's next, because all of us have a what's next in our life. It may be next month, maybe next year, it could be several years down the road. But the point is, all of us have that something that's next, that new season that we may be approaching. And the temptation for all of us is to think that once we know what's next in our life, are therefore prepared for what's next. But nothing could be further from the truth. And as we've been looking throughout this series this past several weeks, I've noted several times that actually there is no correlation between knowing what's next and actually being prepared for what's next. There's no correlation between knowing what's next and being prepared for what's next. Knowing what's next doesn't mean that you are prepared. All it means is that you know. And that's about it. So today what I want to do as we end this series and start a Christmas series in a couple weeks, I want to teach you a prayer today that will help you today, but will also help you for the future. And hopefully this prayer will stay close to your heart and you will pray it daily and pray it for your future. We're going to look at a verse that we can and will turn into a prayer. And that's the amazing thing about God's Word. You can pray the Scripture. If you never know what to pray, just start praying God's Word. And there's so much power and so much truth behind that. We're going to do that today. And I believe this prayer will do a lot for you to prepare for your future and your future seasons of life. The ones that you are looking forward to and the seasons of life that you may be concerned about. The verse that we're going to look at today is found in Proverbs chapter 27. And in this verse, we are actually introduced to two different kinds of people, one similar set of circumstances, two different responses, and two very different outcomes, all in this one verse. And here's what the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, who was considered the man, wisest man ever to live, but yet, as we know how Solomon's life ended, he probably should have read some of what he wrote earlier on. Because he has this extraordinary wisdom that he doesn't, at times, take his own advice in his own life. And as we see with Solomon, it's not the same to just know. Knowing doesn't make the difference, as we have been talking about over these past several weeks. Knowing doesn't make the difference in your life. It's actually doing that makes the difference in your life. So we're going to look at this verse, word by word almost, or a couple words at a time, and just really look at this, and at the end of it all, I'll show you the prayer and teach you this prayer. Proverbs 27, start in verse 12. And he starts off with this. He says, the prudent. Now, that word is not a word we often use in our day-to-day conversations. The prudent here refers to people who are wise. And so what Solomon is saying is these wise or prudent people, they understand that life is connected. If you've ever met someone who is wise, they understand that life is connected. Events are connected. Everything plays together in life. What wise people really truly understand, they understand that the present becomes the past. And the past will always show up in the future. Wise people understand that. And that's what they understand. They understand that the present, what's going on right now in your life, will eventually, in fact, very soon, in fact, be part of my past. And that past has a way of showing up in our future. Wise people understand that life is connected. They connect the dots of what's going on. And wise people will say things along the lines of this: in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wisest thing that I can do right now? Because what I do right now will actually impact my future hopes and dreams. Wise or prudent people will say things like that and understand that connection. He goes on to say this. He says, the prudent see danger. And this is so important here. In fact, if you've already lost interest in the sermon, or if it's already been too long for you, and you're starting to tune out, I want you to tune back in right for these next few moments, because this is so important, I think, for us to know. And then at the end of it, if you want to tune back out, that's your decision too. But I want you to listen to this. And we all struggle with this, and we all know that this is true in our own life. We see what we are looking for, and we hear what we are listening for. We see what we're looking for, and we hear what we're listening for. And this is true. And actually, that actually has a term, and it's called confirmation bias. It actually has given a name, the things that this action that we do in our life. It describes first a tendency in all of us to look for information that confirms what we already believe. And that if you are committed to something, you are wide open to the information that confirms what you already believe and what you've already decided to do. It's when people are looking for second opinions or third opinions or fourth opinions, they want to wait until they find the opinion or the information that matches up to what they already believe, so they don't have to change or do anything different. You hear a lot about that in the medical field. Someone doesn't like hearing what their doctor says, they get a second opinion. And if that doctor doesn't give them the information they're looking for, then they look for another opinion until they find the information they're looking for of what they feel like they already believe in their life. And at the same time, there is something in you that filters out any information or any facts that don't line up with what you want to do, with what you already believe, or what you are looking for. You see what you're looking for, and you hear what you're listening for. And this is what actually sets the prudent person apart from the pack. This is the thing that shows maturity, and this is what most people miss, because the prudent person is willing to acknowledge what they desperately don't want to see or hear in their life. That's the definition, that's the example of a prudent person. The wise person is willing to acknowledge, is willing to admit, is willing to listen to the very thing they don't want to hear. And very few people can actually pull this off. We struggle with that. Once they hear what they don't want to hear, and once they're willing to open their eyes to what they don't want to see, they do something that most of us refuse to do in that moment. They respond appropriately to the situation. Usually their responses are very appropriate for the situation that's come up to them. And this is how they respond in this verse. They say they see danger and they take refuge. That's how they're responding. That's how wise people respond appropriately when they hear things or see things that they're not looking for or wanting to hear. That is that when they see, even if it's not what they wanted to see, and when they listen to the thing they don't want to hear, they do the appropriate thing, and they take refuge. And that term refuge is an interesting little Hebrew term. That little Hebrew term that we translate as refuge has a couple meanings. One of them is a scout. So in their time in the armies, they always would have a scout that would go out ahead of the army to scout out the area, the terrain, the enemy, the opposition. And when they see danger, what they always do is they will always run back to the general, to the captain, whoever they are accountable to, and explain what's ahead. And then the army immediately goes into a defensive position because that's the appropriate response to danger. Another way that this Hebrew term is used is as a traveler traveling out in the wilderness. If we understand this culture in this time, traveling was not safe like it is somewhat today. If you traveled along the path out in the desert, in the wilderness, it was not a safe place. especially if you did it by yourself, because robbers would find the most vulnerable places along these paths between cities and ambush and rob and mug people. So this term is referring to a traveler who may see danger ahead and they head to the higher ground. So that's what this little term refuge means. So what Solomon is saying here is that the prudent person, the wise person, when they see and recognize danger, they head for the hills and they take refuge. They don't ignore what they see. They don't pretend like they didn't hear it. They just respond appropriately to it. The prudent sees and they recognize danger and they take refuge. Then there's this contrast. Then Solomon says, but. And right here, he's going to introduce the second person in this verse. And he says, but the simple. That's such an insult. If you understand the word simple here, it's not a compliment at all. Another term that's used in other translations is naive. Some other translations of that word simple can actually mean stupid, go that far. We won't use that here this morning, so we'll use simple and naive. Kind of gives you the idea of what Solomon is meaning by this word simple, which I think, and I believe none of us want to admit or embrace in our life. Never met someone that says, I aspire to be naive, or I really embrace my naivety and I'm okay with that. I've never met someone who aspires to that. So Solomon says the prudent see danger and takes refuge, but the simple or the naive are the men and the women who live as if life is not connected at all. That one event isn't connected to the other, one situation isn't connected to another, nothing is connected in life. The naive believe that the present becomes the past, and it actually stays there. That's the definition of what the simple believe. They believe that the present will become the past. They believe that. But they believe that that will just stay there. That it has no impact on their future. No impact on their life. And you hear that a lot. I hear that with young adults or children saying, well, that was in the past. It is now, but it's still going to affect the future ahead of you. The simple, they say things like this. It will work out. No worries. Nothing's going to happen to me as they're getting warnings of danger. That's not going to happen to me. How many times we've heard our daughter say that when they travel and we tell them, be careful of the dangers. Oh, that's not going to happen to me. And we hear people saying things like that. Now, in the text, the implication is this, though. The simple see the same danger as the prudent. That's the implication that we can gather in this verse here. That the prudent, they see danger, and they take refuge. They respond appropriately to it. The simple is implied that perhaps they see the same danger, but in their mind, it's too far down the road. That's way up there. I don't need to worry about it right now. I'm not even there yet in that path, in that journey, in the road. I'm not there yet. I'm okay. I don't need to do anything about it right now. Or maybe what Solomon was saying was this. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple just don't see it because they're not looking for what they don't want to see. And I think all of us are inclined in that direction at times. The text continues to say this. But the simple keep going. That's how they respond. They keep going. They know there's danger. They know there's a need to head for the hills. They know there's the need to respond appropriately and take refuge. But they just keep going and going and going. They don't head for the hills. They don't change direction. They don't do anything about what it is that they have been shown. And by the time the simple see danger, sometimes, unfortunately, it's too late. When they finally see danger, a lot of times it's too late for them. I know I'm supposed to encourage you today. I get that, and I am. I hope I am. But here's the reality of it. In every arena of our life, there is actually a point of no return. There's not a point of no forgiveness, but there are areas of our life where we get to, there's a point of no return. There's a point where you have gone so far down the path that once you recognize it, usually you say, uh-oh, should have listened. There is a point where you can't go back and reverse the direction and the decision that you've made, which means you cannot escape the consequences that will come because of it. We are all adults here. We know this. We understand this. But unfortunately, there are areas of our life where we're just so stubborn, and we filtered out all the information that we don't want to see or hear in our own life. And when we wake up, we find ourselves at times we've gone too far down that path. I remember when, as I was thinking about this, when I was younger, my dad and my brother and a couple of our uncles would always plan out a fall time canoeing trip in Northern Ontario, something we did every year that I could remember. And at times of that canoeing trip, we would just hop in vehicles, meet somewhere, have breakfast, and my dad and my uncles would kind of decide where are we going to go this year. They had a lot of experience in Northern Ontario, had all the maps of everywhere that they've ever been, and usually they decide on breakfast, we haven't tried this in like 20 years, so let's go back and check it out again. And so we would go. And some of those times it was just lakes, others were rivers, others involved rapids, which were pretty interesting. I remember one trip we tried to canoe up the rapids. We did it. Took us a lot longer than my uncles did, but we did it. But there was a lot of times as we were traveling down those rivers, there would be signs sometimes. My dad and my uncles had the map, so they knew where rapids or other things would be. But a lot of times there would also be signs, depending on where we were, that said, you know, rapids ahead. Essentially saying, if you're unsure, get out here. Here's the way to get out. You know, bring your canoe to the shore, walk around, go and see the rapids, see if you can shoot them or not. If it's too dangerous, then you portage. You pick up your canoe, you walk around the rapids, and you go at the other end. There were signs that said, no, this is essentially a point of no return. I saw the same thing while I attempted to water ski in the Niagara River above the falls. And there were signs there. They say, making sure your boat is working well. There is a point of no return. You know, at those signs, it was calm and flat, but you didn't have to go very far where you start experiencing a little bit of rapids and then a little bit more, then this huge mammoth falls were upon you. So I saw these signs growing up while canoeing and enjoying the Niagara River above the falls. There's always going to be these warnings in these dangerous areas. There's always going to be these warnings in our own life as well. The problem and the challenge is that all those signs I've ever encountered have always been placed in areas that are flat and calm. So when you're looking at a sign like that, a warning, in other words, there's no reason in the moment to get out of the river. But if you ignore that sign, and then all of a sudden you're at the beginning of these rapids, and then you decide you aren't prepared for this, it's too late. It's too late. You've passed that point of no return. And we do the same thing in our life. No matter how hard you may pray or how hard you may close your eyes, it doesn't matter. You've gone past that point of no return, and you're going to experience the consequences of that. But here's the thing. This is true across all areas of our life, financially, relationally, academically, in our marriages. It's true in every area of our life that there's going to be these warning signs, and it's going to be at the flat and the calm parts of that season, and we need to be aware of those. And say, I need to make a decision now in this moment because I know it's going to impact my future. There is a time when you can't get out, and there's going to be a time when it's actually too late. I've heard of at least one or two boats who broke down the top of the falls, and it was too late for them. They got out, but their boat did not go home with them that day. There is a point of no return. So Solomon is telling us that the prudent, the wise, they see danger and they do something about it. But the simple or the naive They see it, but they just keep going. And the text says here is the consequences for that. At the end of the verse, it says, the simple keep going and suffer for it. This isn't divine punishment that Solomon's talking about here. This is essentially just cause and effect. This is the natural but avoidable consequences of decisions that are made that could have been stopped earlier. But because they wouldn't see it or they couldn't see it, they continue to go until they find themselves in trouble. The truth is, there are some situations that if left unattended, some areas of our life that are left unattended, that they become so complicated that at a time there really doesn't become any good options available for you. So let's put all this together. Solomon's wise words say the prudent see danger and they take refuge. But the simple keep going and they suffer for it. So I want you to look up here and give me, if you've tuned out again, I want you to tune back in again, just for these last few moments. This should scare the confirmation bias out of you, this verse. It really should. It should worry you. It should make you nervous, actually. Because you are not immune, and there's something next on the horizon of your life, and hopefully it's something that you're looking forward to. But simply because you know what's next for you doesn't mean you're going to be prepared for it. And one of the best ways you can prepare for what's next is to decide right now today that I'm going to live life as if it's actually connected. I'm going to live as if the present will become the past that ultimately shows up in my future. When I see what I don't want to see and hear what I don't want to hear, I'm going to do something with what I see and what I hear. And if you choose to go that route, there are four words I want to share with you that are going to probably describe your experience of being a wise person and living a life like this. The first one is action. That's going to describe your experience. You've got to do something. Not hope something, not just pray something, but in fact, you actually have to do something. In fact, once you see the trouble, once you see the danger, guess what? God's work is now done. It's now up to you to respond to what you're seeing. A next word that would describe your experience is sacrifice. If you choose to live like a wise person, there will be sacrifice in your life. I don't know what that sacrifice could be, but there's going to be sacrifice. It could be financial. It could be a friendship. It could be, I don't know, but there's going to be sacrifice. Be prepared for that. Another word to describe it is embarrassment. It's another word that's going to describe your experience. This will not make sense to some of the people who are closest to you. And the reason it won't make sense is because you're not responding to what is in the moment. You're going to be responding to what could be in the future. And they're not going to understand that. And that could result in some embarrassing situations with those closest to you. You're going to be misunderstood as you live a life as a wise person. And the last word that's going to describe your experience is relief. You're going to experience a sense of relief as you are finding refuge in your Lord, as you respond to the things that come into your life appropriately, to what you see and what you hear. So when you see trouble coming, don't ignore it. You need to do something about it. So I promised you a prayer, that I will teach you a prayer that you can use today, right now in your life, and every day. And here's the prayer that I want you to go home with today. And this is what it says. Heavenly Father, now I made this personal and corporately, depending on your situation. Pray it for you personally. Pray it for your families. Pray it over our church. But here's the prayer I want you to go home with. Heavenly Father, help me or help us see trouble coming long before it gets here. Then give me or give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. Heavenly Father, help me see the trouble coming long before it gets here. Then give me the wisdom to know what to do with it and the courage to do something with it. And I want you to know this, that God answers this prayer. He will answer this prayer. In fact, I can prove God answers this prayer because you haven't even prayed it yet. If you're understanding the magnitude of this prayer, you're nervous about praying it. Because you already know the answer to this prayer in your life, if you're being honest. You look at this and it's so threatening because you have tried your best not to see and not to hear. And you think, if I start praying this prayer, the very thing I've tried not to see or not to hear in my life is going to be front and center. And then what am I going to do with that? But this prayer will give you a wonderful life, an enriching life. An easy one? No. Will there be difficulties? Will there be seasons that are difficult for you? Yes. But this prayer reminds us of the response of being a prudent and a wise person in our life. So when you think about what's next for you, are there any red flags as you think about that? Are there any concerns as you start thinking about what's next for you? And just between you and you, is there something you're trying desperately not to see and not to hear in your life right now? Because now is the time for you to take refuge. Now is the time to do something, because now is better than later. And now will always make later better for you. So is there anything that you're desperately trying not to see or hear in your life? Because the prudent see what there is to see. They hear what needs to be heard. Solomon reminds us, the prudent sees danger and they take refuge. But the simple just keep going and suffer harm. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for you just wanting us to be prepared in our life for what's next. Thank you for the wise words of Solomon, just reminding us what it means and what it